Thank you for standing by. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you very much. Okay, hello everybody, and welcome to this panel call today on the 31st of May, 2011. On the call today we have Alan Greenberg, Tatiana Kremtsova, Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Mike O'Connor, Ted Suzuki, Mason Cole, Paul Diaz, Barry Cobb, and from staff we have Glenda Saint-Cherie, Marika Koenigs, Margie Millen, Christina Nordstrom, and apologies from James Bodell, Michaela Nalen, Olivier Crepin Leblanc, Karim Mohamed Atomani, and Oliver Hope. And may I please also remind you to state your names before speaking for transcript purposes. Thanks, and over to you, Alan.
And I'm going to turn it over to Marika for a moment while I get my screens back up again. Can you go over what we are supposed to be doing today and perhaps start if I'm not ready?
This is Marika. First of all, apologies for sending out this updated version so late, but I think we had a bit of miscommunication between Alan and myself, and the intention was to get this out much earlier so people could have a look at it. So basically what I can cover is what has changed in this version of the report. The main changes were discussed on our previous meeting, some of which include moving certain parts to the annexes. So you'll see that Annex B now contains the registrar survey, and Annex C contains the working group survey. I've included references, I think, in section, let me just scroll there, that talks about the working group deliberations or the approach taken by I think it's in section six, deliberations of the working group on page 23. You'll see there that I've included two new paragraphs that basically talk about the registrar survey and the working group survey and refer to the annexes where further information on that can be found so that information is not lost. And I think then the other changes basically related to the changes to the recommendations as we discussed in our last meeting. So that's in section 8 of the report, which starts on page 49. So I don't know if you want to run through each of the changes, Alan, or you know, give people just a couple of minutes just to you know read through maybe the first just few paragraphs, basically the introduction. You know, it's covered there, basically listing that, assuming that it has full consensus, but with a note that needs to be confirmed by the email. I think we spoke about last time as well, noting that the recommendations represent a compromise between the different viewpoints. I've put in there some language that we had in our initial presentation, I think that we did on the proposed final report, talking about, you know, we feel that this will provide additional guarantees to registrants, improve registrant education, comprehension, and that they are in line with current registrar practices and have minimal impact on most registrars and other affected stakeholders. Also mentioning that the recommendations are interdependent and also the recommendation that the GSO Council should consider those as such. And then there's a note which we spoke about in the last meeting that basically deals with all the recommendations, noting that if there are any contradictions with the UDRP or the proposed URS, that should be taken into account as part of the implementation of the recommendations.
Marika, on that one, I thought we had decided that we were going to eliminate the specific comments we had because there had already been one inserted regarding the URS. And I'm not sure if you just didn't remove it yet or that slipped by.
Can you tell me which page you're...
There was one that the IPC, I don't remember, in the recommendations, in the revised recommendations towards the end of the main document. There was a paragraph added with regard to the URS on perhaps, I think it was redirection of websites.
Right. If I didn't remove that, that probably was an oversight.
Okay. So the intention was to remove all of the internal text and simply put the single caveat that saying someone should worry about it, but it's not us.
Right, because I thought that was the intention
That was why I believe our intention. Okay. I would my inclination would be to tend to scroll through the document and identify the changes, and you know, just not stop unless someone has any major comments on them.
Right, so actually then going to the next change that you see, that's actually, I think, the note you're referring to, Alan, because that talks about the URS, so that note should basically be removed. I think that was a leftover from last time. Then in recommendation 2, you see as well the change that we discussed last time in relation to the interruption. I think we agreed that we should be by the registrar to the extent that the registry permits such interruptions.
Okay, where are you, by the way, in the document? Are you at the recommendations at the end?
Yes, recommendation 2. This is on page 50.
Okay.
Because I haven't updated them in the executive summary because I prefer
to... No, that's fine. I just have a different... I'm going back to the original document because I've made a couple of notes on it.
It's the PDF version that's on the screen.
Okay.
So in recommendation 2, in the rationale, I've tried to add the note on what we discussed, I think, as part of the comments that why we have a floating period, as several people commented, you know, that they didn't really understand it, and why wasn't that at the beginning or at a set moment. So I've tried to explain that. So I could feel it's not clear or needs to be done in another way. Feel free to make suggestions.
Yeah. Marika, back on number 2, where did the footnote come from? I know someone suggested it, but I'm not sure if we ever discussed
it. Yes, it's one of the comments that was made, and I think people then suggested that we should just include it as a footnote.
All right. Isn't 443 the one used for secure pages?
Asking me because I have no idea.
Yeah, if it is, I don't think those are intercepted, so I'm not sure that should be there. Maybe we should have someone technically inclined make sure that is indeed accurate.
You have someone in mind?
I can get someone here, or if someone, if McHaley was on the call, I'm sure he'd volunteer. But if I don't come back with my recollection is at one point during our early discussions, we talked about intercepting not only pages that were in clear text, but ones that were encrypted, and I think we decided that technically was not possible. So I'm not sure we want to require it here. So let's put it on the to-do list. Either I'll try to get something, or we'll try to get McHaley or someone else to address it.
Okay. So then further down, so I said the rationale has been added. Then moving further down in the rationale for recommendation 3, we agreed as part of the comments to delete the post-expiration. Recommendation 4, it's updating the language as we discussed in the previous call, so that instead of saying all unsponsored GTLDs, it would now read, with the exception of sponsored GTLDs, then a footnote that would explain what unsponsored GTLDs are and that they no longer exist in the new GTLD program. Included a reference here to the technical steering group implementation proposal for the RGP, basically noting that staff should consider that as part of the implementation. I don't know if people had a look at that proposal or if there anything else that needs to be added in relation to that.
No, I'm happy with that wording.
Then moving on, I think the next one is then recommendation 7 and 8. They basically reflect the suggestion that Alan made, and I think there was one additional change that was made. I think instead of instructions, I think we've changed it to guidelines, if I recall well. So that has been updated here as well.
Okay.
Recommendation 10. We've agreed to take out the subject to an exception policy. I think on the last call there was agreement that there's no need to have an exception policy, so that wording has been deleted. That's on page 53. I'm actually noting that in the rationale, we need to remove as well the mention then of the exception process. We still talk about that.
We're just going to remove that whole sentence, I presume.
Yes. Then moving on to recommendation 12, there was a suggestion to add the wording which includes renewal instructions. I think that was as well following on from public comments, our review thereof.
Yep.
Recommendation 13, just to remove the square bracket. I think that was also part of our review of the public comments to basically add that or make that sentence part of the actual recommendation. And then recommendation 15 and 16, those are the updated languages in relation to some of the comments we received and where the working group agreed that it would be appropriate to add a new recommendation conveying a best practice recommendation. I don't know if people want to take a few seconds to read that.
Okay, no hands. Let's go on.
Now, I don't know for 15 if we want to write a separate rationale or just note maybe that as a result of public comments received, these recommendations were added. I think for recommendation 16, the rationale of 14 applies as well.
I don't think we need it, but it doesn't hurt either, so your call.
Okay. Recommendation 17, we basically changed the saying of no recommendation to a more affirmative recommendation saying that a transfer of a domain name during the RGP should not be allowed. And then I added a recommendation in relation to a review as we discussed also on the last call.
Yeah, the earlier discussion in the report talks about periodic review, which is not reflected here. Is this what we want or do we want periodic? I mean, unfortunately, we won't have a baseline to compare it to because we don't have any specific data before. But my suggestion would be periodic, perhaps every 12 months or something like that.
One thing to note, there might be in thinking of the review of the GNSO itself that you might want to say 12 months after the last review has concluded or something like that. Otherwise, you might run the risk if a review might take a comprehensive approach, maybe in the form of a PDP or if people feel that's needed, that, of course, takes more time and the 12 months might not work.
I'm confused about it. Sorry, I didn't just follow that.
So let's say if you're saying a review should be carried out every 12 months, if a review takes substantial time, for example, data needs to be gathered or research needs to be done that needs to be discussed with a working group or,
Okay, I see what you're saying. I guess I envisioned it somewhat differently. I envisioned it as reporting from compliance, not dissimilar, although the details are obviously different than what was done for domain tasting. And I would suggest that we want some words, and I drafted something. I can put it in the chat if you want, but let me read it. It says, to do this, it is expected that ICANN compliance will have to refine its complaint interface to more effectively track post-expiration recovery problems. In my mind, unless they do that, we're never going to get anything better than what we had today, and that's not very satisfactory. And yet some relatively minor changes, I believe, will allow them to track much more effectively. Cheryl?
Thank you, Alan. Cheryl Langdon, for the record. I think what we really need to do if we're going to say that in Recommendation 18 is leave the Recommendation 18 as it is written and make an additional sentence in that, which then reflects the desire for periodic review, because
you switched off
recommendation
all
18
out of the coverage.
Sorry?
Whatever it is, it covered up your last word.
Аппарат абонента выключен или находится вне зоны действия сети. The subscriber's phone is switched off.
Okay. So, an additional sentence reflecting that desire for periodic review and mentioning text that Alan could provide to us, because they're two different things. This is speaking specifically about an initial review, and then, as we all have discussed, there is a desire for ongoing, which may be periodic ongoing, which may be in no way as larger or as significant a review as recommendation 18 is asking for. In other words, as Alan said, an update from compliance. And my noise line starts to get noisy, so you might need to mute me. Sorry. Thank you.
Okay, so you're viewing recommendation 18 as a real significant review of the whole thing,
yep,
as opposed to, are we still having a problem, yes or no?
That's correct. As a post-implementation review, that's how it reads to me, and I have
okay.
no problem with that.
That was not my intent when I originally suggested it, but let's go to Marika and then Paul.
Yeah, this is Marika. In addition to reporting, something that, you know, compliance might be encouraged to do as well is to carry out a regular audit. I think there are several items in the recommendations which probably shouldn't be too difficult to audit. For example, the posting of renewal fees or information to be provided, like they've done on previous occasions. So that might be another mechanism that compliance might use as a way to make sure the recommendations are implemented as intended and report back to the council on how these recommendations are taking effect.
Yeah, I think that's a valid point. Paul?
Thanks, Alan. Appreciate the concern that was expressed about the lower end of the time frame that we have, the 12 to 24 months, just because we've seen how long it takes things to get going. If we do it every 12 months, we'll just be getting ready for the first one, and then the next one would be due. And to that end, we also probably just need to be brutally honest amongst ourselves about the capabilities that compliance has. Yes, I agree that some, by tweaking the software that they use to collect data, we'll get much better answers, more actionable answers and actionable data. But we've been talking to them for the course of a couple of years, and they've been talking about making changes. And then push comes to shove, and they start asking about the need budget for it and this and that. And I'm just not very convinced that they're going to be able to do things with their existing software. The idea of an audit approach might be better. And I guess ultimately, if we as a community need to revisit this issue, we're definitely going to want something kind of substantial, not just a simple, all right, some people, again, believe that there's still a problem. We're going to want to be able to point to something actionable, data that's been collected, before we have to, kind of dust off and resurrect PEDNR number two.
Yeah, I mean, the thought of convening something of this class again, it's not just not going to happen. It's not likely to happen without it being a PDP, and it's not likely to be a PDP. So I don't think we should really pretend we're going to have a significant review effort done by volunteers. One of my rationales for suggesting this to begin with was because we've gotten no action from compliance, and this, at some level compels them to do something. And to be candid, I looked at what they're doing right now, and if they simply change that bloody form to allow you to select more than one entry, and other, not just select the best one, they would get good data, much better than they have today. There may be some refinement needed other than that, but just at that level, they would get much better data from the point of view of understanding whether there's recovery problems or not than they do today. So my inclination is not to presume this is going to be a major review effort, because I just don't think that's going to happen. I can't imagine it happening unless it gets to the stage of some group requesting a PDP and an issue report again. And so I think, my inclination is to keep this low-key and get them information on a regular basis from compliance and push them if it's not good enough, but not to presume it's going to be anything more involved than that. I think that's unrealistic. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. Then my suggestion would probably be to maybe find another workplace.
Sorry? You got buzzed out.
A lot of static online. Yeah. I think the word review does have the connotation that it requires a lot of work. I'm thinking of, we're reviewing the IRTP that requires, five different PDPs looking at those issues. We're talking about UDRP review, where I think we're envisioning as well a very, big project. So maybe a different wording might be appropriate to really convey what is intended with that kind of review. And one note as well, I'm assuming that once these recommendations are final and adopted and implemented, it will be easier as well for compliance to translate those into categories in their form, because I'm actually assuming that some of their categories track obligations that registrars have under the RAA. So if these are specifically written out, it's for them easier as well to, I guess, add those as categories and say, under the RAA, this now applies. So if you have a complaint about this specific provision that says this or that, take the box. So hopefully that will go in hand in hand.
Well, if there's a general agreement that that's our target, I'm sure offline we can come up with a better word than review. I don't like wordsmithing online, but if there's general agreement that we're not looking at a substantive review, but reports on a regular basis? We have Mikey agreeing, we have Carol agreeing. About as much agreement as we ever get from people actually putting tick marks up. So let's assume that, Marika, and let's work offline and come up with some better words, or you can suggest if you want, whatever works.
Okay.
And I still feel we need to point out, because I think this is if nothing else, the board will see these words when they're adopting these recommendations, that we are expecting action from compliance, and they will have to take some action, and we can quibble over the exact wording, but I think it's important that we say this is going to require compliance action. Okay, let's keep going.
Yeah, Desmond, I think that was about it. We have one more sentence on the next page that basically just says what the next step is, that, just the report has been submitted to the council, and it's now in their hands to consider.
Do we want to make a statement somewhere, and I'm not quite sure where it fits, it's not really a recommendation, but in line with the new PDP processes we're talking about, that the PEDNR working group or a subset of it is willing to work with staff as an implementation team, a subset or superset of it. Again, it's not something that council has ever seen before, so I think we really want to raise the issue at that level. No one agree, disagree? Does silence mean agreement? Marika, does it fit somewhere in your mind?
This is Marika. I'm sure we can find a place to fit it in, but it might be something that we need to call out eventually when the motion is made, so it's clear there as well.
Yeah, because I mean, since it is in line and suggested by the what we believe are the draft recommendations going to be going on PDP processes, I think it's reasonable that we follow it. I'm just not quite sure how to say it. I don't sense any disagreement that we should flag it somewhere in, briefly in the report, and then perhaps focus on it more in the motion. All right. Is the will of the group that we go through the other comments that were made, largely made by me, but Marika made some changes also in the report quickly, or do you want to just have them implemented and people will take a look, can review them when they do their final pass in the report. Any preference among those on the call? We got no comments from James. I'm assuming either he didn't have any or didn't have the time to do it, and same with McKaylee. Any desire to spend the time right now? Mikey, yes. Go ahead.
Hi, Alan. This is Mikey. I think the question is, what's the timing? Are we trying to get this into the council meeting that's happening in Singapore? In which case, are we under a bunch of time pressure? In which case, we should probably crank through them now.
Well,
or not.
I believe, but Marika, correct me, that our timing was such that we wanted to get it produced prior to Singapore so we could talk about it on the weekend at the GNSO meeting. I don't believe our intention is to do anything, although we could raise a motion, get a motion in time for the council meeting in Singapore, but it would just be showmanship because they're clearly not going to vote on it at that point. So I think our intention was to have it wrapped up so we could get there and say it's finished. I don't think there was any particular time constraint other than the next week's meeting is likely to be our last meeting prior to people getting on planes. So the timing is next week is the week we have. If we're to get it published prior to Singapore. Marika, was that roughly what we decided?
Yes, this is Marika, but just to note indeed, because I'm getting on a plane on Wednesday, so ideally we would basically, I could push out a new version based on what we discussed today, tomorrow morning European time, and maybe get people until, I don't know, Sunday evening to send comments, added suggestions to the list. So based on that, I can push out another version so that the Tuesday call will really be the sign-off meeting, if needed. I mean, if people are fine with the report, we might not need it, but if we're going to meet the timeline and indeed send it out, and I think probably council members would appreciate it because we'll have some time, I think, on Saturday to discuss it, and ideally they have a chance to at least maybe look at the executive summary and go over the recommendation, so there's time for questions, and then there might be further discussion on the council meeting on Wednesday, but ideally we will get it published on next week Tuesday.
Yeah. To be specific, you attend this call in the evening on Tuesday, and you're leaving on Wednesday, so you're not going to have time to do anything after next Tuesday's meeting, other than maybe something very cosmetic.
Right.
Well, I've gone through all of them. I'm happy with them, so I can certainly live with the suggestion that we do it online. We do have another hour in this call. I don't think there's that many changes. I think there's enough time to go through it quickly and still go through the new items in the review tool. So I think we can do it at this point, and at least everyone on this call will have gone through it once, if not having done it privately. Not acceptable? Seeing no complaints? Let's try that. So we scroll back up to the top. And where do we start? After the executive summary, I guess? Marika, go ahead.
Alan, this is Marika. I think I'm thinking 1 week ahead because actually we're not starting traveling until the week after. So we actually have next week.
Oh, hold on. Did I jump the gun more than I should have?
I did too because I was already thinking as well that we're... So we actually might have a little bit more time than we assumed because I think the 14th is the real drop date for
okay,
getting the report out, which means we still have next week, 7th of June, to discuss or go through items that people identify.
If I pulled out the right year calendar, I'd be in a better shape. Hold on. So next week is the 7th. You're right. So we do have time. So do you want to come up with a new version as based on what we've done today, and people can review what should be at that point the almost final documents? Are you going to integrate the the comment. There were a number of comments that I made where I didn't actually put text in, but made some suggestions. Do you want to leave those still as comments, or do you want to?
I already integrated most of them. In some cases, I left your comments just so people are clear where that change came from. But I can take those mentions away. But I think for most of them, I basically just integrated them. There's some items where you ask questions, and I've asked, I think, some updates from compliance, whether there's additional information to add to the section that deals with compliance feedback. So what I can do indeed is push out an updated version tomorrow morning and maybe ask everyone to review and send comments, edits, suggestions ahead of next week's call. So then we can maybe run through those, if there are any changes or suggestions, run through that call. And then we'll have some time, a couple of days after that, to actually update the report and finalize it. And then we should have plenty of time to get it out by the 14th.
Okay, that sounds good. I do have one comment as I was going through the review, though. I had suggested that instead of the detailed attendance table in the body of the text, we move that into an appendix and put in the body of the text just a list of the stakeholder groups and the names of the people who participated within each group. Thinking about that, there's an awful lot of people who attended one or two or three meetings or a small number of meetings or dropped out many, many months ago. My inclination right now is to say in that list within the body of the report, we include the people who have perhaps participated in more than 50% of the calls and then list the full list of people and their actual attendance record in the appendix. How do people think about that? And then we'll go to Mikey afterwards, unless it's on this item. We have Mikey and Paul. Let's go.
This is Mikey. I'm fine with that idea. The reason I had my hand up is maybe what we do is we cut this call short and say and push out a final four review draft to the list and say, heads up, everybody, this is the release candidate. Give it the final review. Comment on the list if you have issues so that we don't hopefully have a whole lot more to do. I think we're all growing a bit weary and rather than grind through every single one, maybe we could just do the rest of this on the list.
Yeah,
it's just a thought.
I thought that actually was what Marika had been suggesting, but maybe I misunderstood what she meant. But I'm fine with that. I'm quite happy. Paul?
Yeah, thanks, Alan. I agree with you and Mikey. Pushing it to the list makes sense. As far as the attendance thing, I guess I'm going to be a little old school about this and think it should be in the body of the report, and it is what it is. People who join the group and attended one or two meetings and then never participate again, honestly, I'd rather not hide that in an appendix and, just let the record speak for itself and not try to set a threshold for, they attended half the meetings or what have you. That's distinct from the issues that the working group focused on, the spotty at best attendance and the non-participation of several constituency groups is a message that should be delivered to council pretty clearly. Not trying to be difficult here, and if the group really wants to move it out, okay. But I think that it's sending an important message about the overall policy process, how things are done, and it's like, why try and not just speak the truth?
You've just convinced me.
and like we've said, we had very strong representation from a certain stakeholder group, obviously. And that can be another issue about down the road. Hey, do you want to go back to the old, whatever the not working group, but the one where you had a designated rep and all those things, it becomes data that you can provide.
You've convinced me. My recommendation gets changed, so let's see if we can compress the tables so it doesn't take four pages. All right. We have general agreement on rejecting my original suggestion and the new one, and presenting all of the data, perhaps in a more compact form. Okay. Then I think we're done. Marika, the job is yours at this point, and we'll look for the report. And I promise to read any notes you send me completely, so I understand whether it's something's just to me or the whole group. Which is what happened, by the way, to the rest of you. I thought Marika had sent something to the whole list, and she, in fact, had asked me should she send it out to the whole list. Short of anyone else putting up their hand quickly, I thank you for your participation. We'll meet again in a week, and you have 3/4 of an hour back to your real life.
Awesome. Thanks, Alan.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks,